Welcome to your one-to-one the world, the advanced class, and we're talking about the world of music today. And it's one of my favorite subjects, and I have some great musicians here with me today to be our panelists. We're very glad to have Angus Shaw with us. Hello, Angus.
Hi, nice to be back.
You know, Angus is usually down in the studio writing music for Heavenly Melody and for all kinds of things. Angus, thanks for taking time to come up to the program today.
You're welcome.
You love music too, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Have you always liked music since you were little or what?
Yes. I remember when I was in kindergarten and listening to music on the street and you feel different. You feel different. And I remember
it's
that
It's another thing, isn't it? It's kind of the language of the soul, of the heart, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Well, and Ben loves music. Ben, I know you love music.
Oh, absolutely. I love it.
And have you always liked music?
I actually didn't know I loved music until I was about 12. And I started playing the piano when I was 11. And at the time, I didn't want to study the piano because it wasn't fun. But yeah, I love piano. I love music, and I still love music. I think I love music more and more every year.
Well, Ben, later on, maybe we can hear some of your music and some of Angus's. We'll see if we can work it into the program. But we're going to talk about chasing our musical ambitions now. You know, it's so hard to find good subjects to talk about. We don't want to always talk about the war and about the politics. We want to talk about fun and beautiful things like music, don't we?
Absolutely. And music is a beautiful subject.
Right. And music is the language of the soul, right?
Yes.
That's what your soul and your heart thinks about.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think often when words communicate what we're thinking, and to me, music is communicating what I'm feeling.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's really great thing to learn. I think everybody should learn a little bit of music.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. That's what you're here for. So open up your magazines to page 12, and we're going to have this lesson on chasing musical ambitions. Now, these are tips. Who are the tips for? What does it say?
Tips for amateur and professional musicians. So amateur would just mean someone who's not doing music as a living or for money, but they like it as a hobby. And professional would mean somebody who does music for a living or
like
as
I'm
a
an
job.
Amateur and you're a professional. Right?
Yeah, Angus would be a more
he's professional. Right,
yeah.
Angus. Are you? I think so.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. Well, but all of us need to improve. And what word do we say here to sharpen, to improve? What word do we use?
To hone.
To hone your skills, right. And like carpenters, they'll make something and then they'll hone it. They'll just shave it off and make it better. Or you're doing something that's good, but it's not good enough. So you hone your skills. You sharpen them. You make them better. Tune them up a little bit.
That's right. Yeah, sometimes we get things done almost to the very end, but there's still a little bit more that we have to do to the end of it, maybe the details, and that would be called honing.
Right.
So honing your skills. So you're already good at it, but how do you get a little bit better? How do you hone those skills?
So we're so happy that we can have this article by Jimmy and Carol Owens. Jimmy and Carol Owens have been out to Asia many times. They've written great musicals that have been used all over the world. And we like to use their music. Actually, they're probably now in their 70s and 80s.
Wow.
But they've been doing work to help musicians all their lives. They live in California. And Jimmy said we could use some of his articles for our program. So thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah. And this is really about music and the ambitions that we have. You know, so many people wish they could, you know, be musical. They wish they could sing and play, but they have to work on it. We have to hone our skills, don't we?
Absolutely.
So here's some tips for us, and we always like tips. Now, the first question that we have today is, what's the first question?
Do you need a musical education? That's a great question.
That's a good question. Yeah. Let's read that paragraph first.
Chasing musical ambitions. Tips for amateur and professional musicians to hone your skills. Do you need a musical education? Some fine songwriters have a great deal of formal musical training. On the other hand, some people with extensive educations couldn't write a good song to save their lives. It's a great advantage to be able to notate your own songs, writing down your ideas for instrumental and vocal hooks, so that even if you don't do your own arranging, you can help your arranger understand your concept of the song.
This is a very good question. You know, one of my favorite musicians is Huntley Brown, and he lives in Chicago, and he's been to Asia many times. He plays all over the world. Great pianist. In fact, we might hear a little bit of Huntley Brown after a while. What do you think?
I'm excited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's such a great pianist, isn't he, Angus?
He is.
Angus, didn't you visit him once in Chicago?
He's amazing, and he's a very humble guy.
Right, but he's such a great musician.
Yes.
Wow. Well, let's play a little bit of his music for you in a minute. But, you know, Huntley Brown did not want to have a musical education, but he was very musical. He played beautifully, but he had a teacher who said, you have to learn, and they made him hone his skills, and now he's even greater. But he was a natural musician. So some songwriters or musicians have a lot of training, but they go to school and they graduate, but they can't play half as well as Huntley. Why not? Because they don't have the talent, right?
That's right.
And so this is what we're going to find out about today. But on the other hand, a lot of people with extensive educations, they've studied, and they can't even write a song if it killed them to save their lives. To save their life. Write a song. I can't.
That's a really interesting phrase there, to save their lives. What would that mean in... does it really mean that they're saving their lives by writing a good song?
Well, if somebody says, all right, I'm going to shoot you if you can't write a song.
Oh,
okay.
I see.
But I can't write one. Well, boy, I'd love to.
Oh. So to save their lives would mean...
It's kind of an idiom that we use, yeah.
As if to write a song that would save their lives.
Right.
I see. So even if they needed to write a song to save their lives,
they couldn't write it.
Oh, no.
But that's kind of an expression that we use to say, oh, I studied piano for many years, but I couldn't play like Angus to save my life if I had to. If I had to, that's what it means. Even if I had to, I couldn't. And, you know, I know teachers who have studied all kinds of education and PhDs, and they can't teach anybody anything. But they studied. They couldn't do it to save their lives because they just don't know how to make it useful for other people.
That's a good point. And Doris, you've been teaching for many, many years,
right?
And you don't have a teaching education.
Well, no, I have kind of a miscellaneous education, a little bit of everything.
But you do it so well because you have a natural talent.
Talents really matter.
Well, it's important, but, you know, we still have to study and hone our skills. That's true. So that's what we're going to talk about today, whether you need to actually have what we call a musical education. And let's find out what this article has to say from Jimmy. Let's read the next paragraph.
A leading advantage. If you're versatile in playing musical instruments, you have a great advantage over those who are not. Learn to play a chording instrument, especially the piano. Even if you don't pursue it enough to perform in public, it's basic to everything you do as a musician. It puts the whole harmonic spectrum at your fingertips and into your thought patterns. If you play only single-line instruments, such as brass or woodwinds, you may learn to think only linearly, and arranging and composing may be a difficult chore. Do you want to be an arranger or studio singer? Arrangers need a mastery of music theory and a working knowledge of the capabilities of all instruments, while studio singers should read music as skillfully as professional instrumentalists.
Now, whenever we do something, we like to have something that helps us, kind of give us a little advantage. For instance, if you've studied, then it gives you an advantage because you know more than other people. So a leading advantage here is one thing we're going to recommend to everybody today. Let's find out what it is. It tells us in line 10, if you're versatile in playing musical instruments. Versatile, what does that word actually mean?
Means you can play many instruments
right.
And play them well. You can switch to each different instruments
play one thing or another. Yeah. Well, that's why I had you to come today, because I know you're very versatile, both of you. Now, how many instruments can you play?
I'd say 3 or 4.
Which ones?
Guitar, piano, bass.
Drums?
And a little bit of drums.
Said,
what about the flute?
Oh, that's right. I majored in flute.
Yeah, see?
He knows so many instruments, he even forgot.
Which ones can you play, Ben?
Well, I would say I can play well about 6 instruments.
6? That's pretty good.
But not super well. I think my best instrument is the guitar. And then I've tried maybe 20 instruments.
What's the other one? Have you ever played the sax?
I have. Yeah, I have.
That's my first instrument was the sax.
Oh, yeah. I love playing the sax. And the sax sounds so similar to the human voice. It just has a beautiful sound when it's
so... What about the French horn? I played the French horn as well,
yeah.
Wow. You can buy
mine sometime. My first instrument was the piano, and then I went to the trumpet. And then I went trumpet to French horn to percussion, which is hitting lots of drums. Percussion to the drum set,
guitar?
Drum set to the djembe, which is an African drum, djembe to the guitar, guitar to the ukulele, ukulele to the bass.
Ukulele and guitar are the same.
Yeah, they're all the same.
Yeah.
Anyways, I've tried out a lot of instruments.
That's very versatile.
Yeah, he does. Well, I started out with the piano too, just like you, and then I went to the saxophone and the trumpet and the French horn. Let's see, I can't remember how many. Other ones, not too many more.
We could make a band.
Yeah, we could.
A big band.
Yeah, we're versatile, right?
Versatile.
Well, you know, one thing is that Americans often feel that all their kids should learn the piano, and I think everybody in the world should take piano lessons.
That would be great.
I think you're right. I think that just like it's important to communicate our thoughts, it's also important to communicate our feelings.
Right.
And the piano is a great instrument. The article here talks about, in line 12, how you should learn to play according instrument.
Like the piano.
And yeah, well, according instrument is different from a solo instrument.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because according instrument can have more than one sound.
Right, not just one note, but you have to play 4 or 5 at the same time, make a chord, right?
Yes, exactly, and when you play more than one note together, you have to figure out how the notes work together to make a harmonic sound.
Well, and then you have to read what we call the top notes, which is we have the bass clef, and then we have the treble clef, right?
Yeah.
Top. And you have to learn to read them. They're both different.
They are.
Oh, I play the accordion. I forgot to mention that.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. But anyways, because sometimes I play the trumpet and the accordion at the same time.
No way.
Yeah, the trumpet, and then you play the chords on the accordion, but they're in different keys. It's kind of hard.
That must be difficult.
But anyway, that being versatile. When you started to play the piano, though, did you really want to learn it when you were a kid? Did you,
when
Angus?
When I first played, it was in kindergarten.
Kindergarten?
No, I didn't feel much. I wasn't crazy about it. Mm-hmm. But when I grew older, around 12, mm-hmm. suddenly it just opened. I'm like, I want to play this.
Did you take lessons then?
Yes.
Okay. What about you, Ben? Did you take lessons too?
I took lessons for 2.5 years, and I hated every second of it.
I know.
But
you have to
then,
practice.
As soon as I quit, I loved it.
Really?
It was the weirdest thing. It was the weirdest
Well, you know,
thing.
I really wanted to learn too, and we didn't have a lot of money because there were a lot of kids in the family, but my aunt was a piano teacher, and she composed music too.
Wow.
But so I had to learn. My mother made me learn, and I didn't want... I was 9, and I took lessons for a whole year.
Wow.
But I'm so glad that I did. I wish I could. I said, Mom, why didn't you make me take more? She says, you didn't want to. I says, why didn't you make me?
You know? Why didn't you make
me? So when you get older, they're going to say that. Why didn't you make me do it? Because when we're kids, we don't like to practice.
Nope.
So if your kids don't want to practice, they have places where parents can sit down and play the piano with them and a lot of different things now, don't they? So I think if you learn the piano, you learn to express yourself in music. So I think everybody should take piano lessons. All you piano teachers, come on, get more students, right?
Jayo.
So you have a great advantage if you can play that. Don't just learn the flute or the violin or something. Learn the piano first. That's very important. Got that? Learn the piano first. Because you learn according instruments, especially the piano. And you don't have to perform in public. You don't have to be a great pianist. Just play it for yourself. When you feel sad, sit down and play. When you're happy, sit down and play.
That is to all the parents
right.
from Doris.
Right. But it's basic to everything as a musician. And you can't even write music if you don't know all of these different parts of music. You can't just write them by the melody necessarily, because it puts your whole harmonic spectrum at your fingertips. Now, that's kind of a big concept here. What does that say in easy words?
Harmonic spectrum would probably just be the range of notes that you can play. So if you played the lower notes and the higher notes together, the harmonic spectrum would be very wide.
The patterns of music, not just the lower part or the upper part, put them all together.
Mm. Yeah, and that's why when you have an orchestra, which is many different instruments together, the harmonic spectrum is huge. You have very high notes and very low notes and all the notes in between coming together, and they make a beautiful harmonic sound.
And then you have to be a conductor
sound.
And learn how to get them all
yeah.
together. That's good. Well, do you want to be an arranger or a studio singer? Now, some people listening in today might say, yes, I wish I could sing. I'd like to sing in the studio and make, you know, CDs or TV or something. Or they want to arrange songs. Yeah, I love music, but what do you have to do to be one of those? What do arrangers really need?
Yeah, a lot of musicians wanted to be an arranger because they think, you know, they can create songs.
Right.
But like you said, if they could play a chord-based instrument, that would really help them arrange, especially piano, because yeah. you can see all the computers were hooked up to a keyboard or, you know.
Right.
So that would really help them to become an arranger.
So they need to really understand music, and they have to know what the instruments can do. Now, some people will write music for me to play on my trumpet, but it sounds like it was made for the flute or the baritone or something. You've got to know what that instrument can do, the range, how high they can play, how
yeah.
low they can play,
the key.
And the kind of music. You know, some music sounds like it's for violin, and that doesn't play well on the trumpet,
yeah.
right? Or even the saxophone, right?
It's a good point, yeah.
So you have to understand all of these. And then you can actually be an arranger. You cannot arrange if you don't know how to write for them. Did you find that you had to learn that too?
Yes, I had to. I have to keep listening to records and try to play on piano to figure out what key range, say, an instrument is, you know, like a trumpet.
Right.
You know, what sounds best at their range.
And the kind of speed, like a violin going
yes.
all over fast, but a trumpet might go da da da. So yes. a little bit of difference in the speed and everything, right?
Absolutely.
The language that they
yeah,
speak. Yeah,
that's true. So we have to learn the capabilities, what each instrument can do, what can the sax do, what can the French horn do, and where they fit in, and what kind of music suits those instruments for solos.
Yes.
When you're arranging, you have to do that.
Mm.
It's pretty good now, Angus, that you can make a lot of those sounds on the keyboard. You don't even have to have the instruments. It can sound like it, can't it?
Yeah, I'm amazed how a computer has really... I mean, MIDI has really progressed over the years.
Right.
I mean, the sound is amazing. Like, I've come across samples, like the string samples.
Yeah.
You can hardly tell if it's real or
MIDI. I know,
or MIDI.
It's not really real violins, but it sounds like it, right?
Yeah.
And that's really great. Well, there's a lot of things that have to do with music, and we want to hear a little bit of samples of some of these.
No man, trousers sagging, all our clothes look raggy, but we're rough and ready. Yay, raw, raw. Garters, all the things we never wear, and we don't have any use for red hot flannel. Very, very seldom in a hurry, never, ever worry, really sorry.
To read music. Dr. Laura Hoggard, who trained Fred Waring's Pennsylvanians, the preeminent concert recording choir of the time, told of auditioning many excellent voices, but he couldn't use them because they couldn't read music. Sound advice. If you find you have a serious gift that's beginning to be recognized by others, our advice is to learn all you can as fast as you can. It will make the rest of your life easier and more fulfilling. It can be very frustrating to hear great music in your head, but not know how to communicate it. What you don't know can hurt you. Whatever your musical ambitions may be, learn all you can. The more you know, the better off you are.
Learning to read music. Learning means you have to start, study, and it's not so easy. It's fun just to sing and not have to read music. But you have to learn to read music.
You do, and I think if you can read music, that means that if somebody... there are multiple hundreds of thousands of music books and pieces of music that have been written out already. And if you can't read music, then you're missing out on a history of music like Bach and Beethoven. And even to the present day, people still write music so that you can read it.
Well, you know, sometimes in Asia, they've used this 1-2-3 number system for wan, for do, and re, mi, and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And they can't really read music. They can only read those numbers. That's better than nothing. But you really need to read the notes, don't you, Angus?
Yes, yes, the notes. If you look at a piece of classical music, it says a lot just within those notes. Like you said, you're missing out a lot if you don't read them.
Right. You know, there's been some people that really have music in their heart and their soul, and they sing beautifully. And a long time ago, they had this group called the Fred Waring's Pennsylvanians, one of the best choirs. And at that time, a lot of people sang solos and stuff, but this is a big choir. And they were so beautiful. They made a lot of records at that time, and then later on CDs, and were on the radio programs in the 40s and 50s and everything. Beautiful. And some people say, I want to join Fred Waring's choir. But they had a problem. Why couldn't they join?
They couldn't read music. They auditioned, which means they tried out for the part, and they had a great voice, but they couldn't read the music. And if you can't read the music, then you can't work together as a team.
Well, that's true. You know, we have the Heavenly Melody singers, and sometimes people say, I want to sing with Heavenly Melody, and they have a nice voice, but we ask them to read a piece of music. They can't read it very well. I'm sorry, you got to be able to read music. Mm-hmm. And most singing groups, you have to read music. Even a church choir, it's better if you know how to read music, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like, I've been training choirs, and it takes time to read music. And
it
especially
does.
For beginners, it takes time for them to read.
Now, don't they do that in school nowadays? It seems to me we read music in school, grade school.
Yeah.
Don't we read music in school?
We used to. We were taught to read, but not a lot. Not a lot.
Now, I think besides putting English in the curriculum, you need reading music in the curriculum. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea.
All you educators, remember that.
All right. Jayo.
Jayo. Okay. That's very important, and that's very sound advice, because if you have a gift and you recognize this, then you have to learn all you can. Now, that's why I mentioned Huntley Brown. Such a great pianist, and he could play, but the man that he chose then to help him improve said, you can't read music. And he kind of faked it and pretended like he could. And he made him learn the music. And now he can just play anything. Mm-hmm. So even if you're very good, you still need to learn, right?
Yes, yes. That'll really help you play the music,
And so learn as fast as you can. Don't put it off and say, I'll do it later. Hey, start right away.
That's right. And I think it's a good analogy to see like a tree. So a tree that can grow really tall and really beautiful, it's kind of like your talent. You have a lot of talent, you can grow really tall and beautiful, but if you don't have roots underneath the ground, you're going to fall down.
That's
and so
true.
If you have a ton of musical talent, but you can't back it up with the knowledge and the you reading music
That's
and the
true.
Ability to play, then you're probably not going to get very far.
And some people say, well, I can just hear this music in my head, but it's frustrating, untouchable, and you cannot get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, what you don't know can hurt you. It actually can. Whatever your musical ambitions may be, learn all you can, right?
That's right. Try to learn.
Yeah, are you still learning?
Every day. I will tell my students to read even just a page a day. That will really make a difference.
Right. Just like English, practice a little every day. Music, do a little every day. And the more you know, the better off you are. Thank you. So we'll come back to talk about this more tomorrow. See you then. Bye.
Bye. Bye.